I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the guys talk about what's what in the barbershop. But first, our weekly Faith Matters conversation. If you're a parent, you may have had this conversation, or maybe you know someone who has. A beloved child comes to you and says he or she is gay. Now, if you're also a person of faith, you may be wondering, is this a path to true self-identity or to damnation? Or is there something in between? What does the Bible say? A documentary out this month in select theaters across the country looks at five Christian families and how each responded when a child came out of the closet. It's titled For the Bible Tells Me So, and two of its subjects are with us now. Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson of the Diocese of New Hampshire is here in our Washington studio. He's the first openly gay bishop ordained by the Episcopal Church in the U.S. It's an ordination that's still the subject of passionate disagreement in the church worldwide. And Brenda Poteet, she and her husband are ministers at Faith Harvest Church Ministries, a predominantly African-American church in Burlington, North Carolina. Their daughter Tanya came out several years ago. Brenda Poteet joins us from member station WUNC in Durham. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, Michelle.
Is this the first time you two are talking?
Yes.
It is. I have certainly admired Brenda and her husband, but only from the movie. So we have never met, and it's a joy to be on this show with her.
I'm glad that you're both here with us together, even though we're in different cities, we're all together. So thank you for this. And Bishop Robinson, before we talk about your parents, I would like to talk with you a little bit about what it's been like for you to come out of the closet, both as a gay man, but also as a very public religious leader.
It's been an astounding experience, mostly because God has seemed so very close during all of this. People say, well, how are you doing? Or do you regret this? And I always say, how could I possibly regret any experience that brings me closer to God? And given all the controversy and so on, I don't think I could have gotten through this without God's loving presence. The other thing that I'm a bit fascinated by and somewhat relates to this movie that Brenda and I are in is that in some odd way, I think the Episcopal Church is reacting to me the way any family reacts when one of its kids comes out as gay or lesbian. There's a wide range of emotions. There's, you know, denial and anger and grief and sadness and all of that. And in some odd way, I think the whole church is responding in much the same way that a family does when a son or daughter says, Mom, Dad, I'm gay.
Brenda, what do you think about that? Do you think that's true?
I guess as an adult, when you come out, the church would be your family and would react to you in that way. I guess you're right about that. I had never really thought about it, but that seems plausible.
It's interesting because you have different roles in this film. In the film, Gene is the child, and Reverend Poteet in the film, you're the parent. It's your daughter who is the person who has come out. And let's start with Gene's story. Gene, you talk about the fact that you grew up, your parents, I think it was your grandfather, your great-grandfather, had been one of the founders of the church that you grew up in, and that you were always rooted in this church as the floor beams.
Yes, I was about the eighth or ninth generation, actually, in this small rural parish in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And so for me to question it in any way and then to ultimately join the Episcopal Church seemed like a rejection. But for me, the Episcopal Church was a kind of fulfillment. It added history and liturgy to the religion that I had grown up with. But, you know, I still go back and worship at that church. I love it. It is where my roots are. And after all, they gave me the foundation in Scripture that serves me to this day.
And your father in the film, your parents admit to being a little confused when you came out, but they seem to take it pretty well. Here's a clip from your father.
We didn't know about gay people, really. I think northern people accept gay people a lot better than the south does. So we got a couple of books and read about gay folks and we tried to learn all we could about it.
Was it really that smooth? And do you think it was luck or perhaps grace that your parents were able to accept your sexuality?
It was certainly grace, and it took a very long time. I mean, what's wonderful for me about this movie is that this is 21 years later, and the journey that my parents have been on and where they have come with this is just so astounding to me. I often remind adults who are coming out that, like in my case, it took me 39 years to admit who I was and to come to grips with it and to affirm that God loved me. And then the very next day, I expect my parents to catch up on what took me 39 years to learn. And now I've been alive and they've been alive long enough that they have really made this journey with me. And I think my story and all the stories in the movie are really about the triumph of a parent's love for their child over whatever else they believe.
Reverend Poteet, this journey has been a more recent one for you. Would you mind telling me what it was like for you when your daughter came out to you?
It was devastating, and it's been longer than you think. She told me when she was 20. She came in my bedroom where we would have mother and daughter time together. She was home from school, and she had talked about seeing some lesbian activity in her suite. And I think that was her way of trying to tell me that she was believed that she was lesbian. And she told me, and I immediately, you know, her future was plain. She had a fantastic future ahead of her. And as Gene said, or his father said, being in the South, there was more condemnation, not conviction, but condemnation on homosexuality. And I thought, you have screwed your life. And I told her that. I said, don't you tell anybody. It's just a phase you're going through. Don't open your mouth. I'm not telling your dad. We're not telling anybody. You'll get through this.
Was your concern theological because you believe that she is truly damned? Is your concern political in part? You know what? Life is hard enough as an African-American woman. And you don't need anything else. Is your concern?
And that's what she tells me. Right. That's what I felt, more political than spiritual at the time she told me, because when she came out to me, we were not ministers. And that was one of the things that she said to me. Mom, I know how hard it's going to be. Do you think this is something that I would choose? Because I told her that. I said, you've just had some bad relationships. You've been looking for your relationships to make you happy. You have to be happy within yourself. And you don't need to do this to seek happiness.
And is it fair to say that it's still a source of a gap or a breach in your relationship?
She knows that I do not agree with it, but I have changed in a lot of my thoughts and attitudes about homosexuality. And I don't think that there's the breach there that there had been at one time.
Here's a clip from her from the film. Let's play it and see what you think.
We were kind of both walking on eggshells around each other in our conversation. And I remember making a commitment to each other that we wouldn't do that anymore, that we would say what we felt, say what we thought, not censor ourselves, just in an effort to just kind of be present with each other in a relationship.
That's right. You know, we have learned to lovingly disagree. We have learned we're not on eggshells any longer, but she knows what pushes my button and I know what pushes hers. I have learned to accept her partner. When I looked at the relationship at more than how a person has sex, then I was able to see a little differently. It was just like an eye-opener for me that she was still the same person that she was before she came out to me. And her sexual life was her private life. And that's how I dealt with it.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about For the Bible Tells Me So. It's a new documentary about the intersection of Christianity and homosexuality. Reverend Poteet, I still have to ask, though, for you, once you got past the politics of it and realizing that she can function, right, as a young woman in the world, she can function, nobody's, you know, following her in the street and stoning her. Mm-hmm. There is the spirit aspect to work with. And for you, this is fundamentally what? This is just fundamentally morally wrong?
Right. I believe that, first of all, sex is for the marriage bed, and that's something that God gave us not only to enjoy, but to procreate. And everybody who's married does not procreate, but they can if they want to, or if there's some other reason that they can't, some medical reason. I just don't think that's what God intended. I really do not. I know that he loves her, Jean, and everyone else, because we're all his children. I don't think the love of God, we lose the love of God because we are homosexual or liars or cheats or whatever. But I cannot believe that it is right.
And Reverend Poteet, if I may, how do you address the argument that God does not make mistakes?
Because I can't say that God did this. What I'm saying is we choose our life's pattern a lot of time. And I'm not comparing a person who's homosexual with a person who's a robber or a thief, but they know that's wrong. They know they'll be ostracized, but sometimes they just choose to do that.
And you feel fundamentally this is a choice.
Right.
Bishop Robinson, how do you grapple with the question of fundamental values, fundamental right and wrong? There are those who argue that people who question the Bible's instruction on this point are selectively interpreting the material in ways that they don't tolerate for other things that they agree with. You know, you don't argue about whether it's right to kill or not to kill. You don't argue about whether it's right to commit adultery. You sort of accept that. And this is an area in which you're just choosing to interpret the Bible according to your wish. What do you say to that?
Well, actually, we do argue about some of those things. The Bible is pretty clear in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Yet we would make exceptions in cases of self-defense. We obviously make exceptions in times of war. So what at first appears very clear and very simple often turns out not to be. And I think most of us really do interpret Scripture in the sense that even by picking and choosing what we focus on, I think that's somewhat of an interpretation. I do believe the Bible to be the Word of God. I would say that I don't believe them to be the words of God. That is to say, I don't believe they were dictated by God word for word, and therefore are somewhat bound by the culture in which they were written. So, for instance, everyone in biblical times was understood to be heterosexual. So to act in a same-sex manner was thought to be against your nature. And it was only about 125 years ago that the whole notion that a certain minority of us might actually be born with a same-sex orientation. And so that's a very new concept. And to read that back into an ancient text does the text violence. So, I believe that the Bible states exactly what people believed was true of God in that particular culture. But we've changed our minds about a lot of things since those times. For instance, until 150 years ago, we were using Scripture to justify slavery. We've used it for the subjugation of
beating women.
Absolutely. You know, Jesus says that right before he dies, on the night before he died for us, he says to his disciples, there are things that I want to teach you, but you're not ready to hear them. So right. I will give you the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. And so I believe that there were things that we weren't ready to hear yet. And so I believe in a living God who didn't stop revealing God's self when Scripture was closed, but continues to reveal God's self. I know Jesus in my own life. He is as alive and well and living here as I am. And I believe that the Spirit might be, teaching us something new here, leading us into the truth that Jesus said he would.
Reverend Poteet?
You know, I agree with what he said. I know that Jesus left the Holy Spirit here for us. And unless the Holy Spirit interprets the word for us, we don't get interpretation from it. It's not anything that we can do on our own. But he said the Bible is the word of God. Not God's words, but the Word of God. And I believe that God does not change. I think that through the Holy Spirit, we do learn things that may not have been happening in, quote, biblical times. But I think that if we stood on that solely, we couldn't stand on the foundation that the Bible can answer all questions for here, for now, and forevermore.
Do you believe that it is possible, that it will be possible for people of faith to be reconciled on this issue? And I don't mean just in the sense of being cordial to each other in the way that you all clearly are, and loving toward each other in the way that you clearly are, and toward members of your families with whom you have had some breach. but truly spiritually and theologically reconciled. Reverend Poteet, do you foresee that being possible?
Truly spiritually reconciled. No.
Bishop?
Well, if I weren't hopeful about almost everything, it would be hard for me to to claim the name Christian, because I believe that being Christian is about hope, and I do believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, as Scripture tells us, and I don't know when it will happen. It may not be in my lifetime, but yes, I actually do believe it will happen, because I think in the end, God will welcome us back home, and somehow in God's good time, this will work itself out. And but the important part is that we love each other in the meantime.
That's right.
And I think that's what this movie is so powerful about, is that in the meantime, while we're trying to figure all this out, we're going to hold on to one another and love one another no matter what.
Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson of the Diocese of New Hampshire. He was here with us in our Washington studio. We're also joined by Brenda Poteet, minister at Faith Harvest Ministries in Burlington, North Carolina. Reverend Poteet, Bishop Robinson, it's a pleasure to speak with you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.